Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the NFL Draft Bible's Draft Digest Show, brought to you by All Access Football here on Blog Talk Radio and the Fantasy Sports Channel. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione, and this is our Senior Bowl special. So with us today, we expect to have our correspondents who are there in Mobile, Alabama, on location. That would be Mr. Joe Everett himself, as well as Bo Marchant. These guys have been all over the place in Mobile, catching the practices, putting down their notes, grabbing every player in sight. I believe by tonight we should have upwards of 20 or so one-on-one player podcasts that these guys have done there in Mobile with guys like Ryan Kerrigan and Vaughn Miller and Gabe Kareemi, Russ Holman, Cameron Jordan, quarterbacks like Colin Kaepernick and Jake Locker, Casey Matthews, the younger brother of Clay Matthews, Derek Sherrard, another potential first-round pick, as well as some sleeper players like a Brandon Fusco out of Slippery Rock. That's right, Brandon Fusco. If you don't know who he is now, you better ask somebody, and that somebody would be us. So get on the horn and check that out. We have on our NFLDraftBible.com website, our All-Star Game Central, where you can link up to all the player interviews as well as all the practice notes from this week at the Senior Bowl. And we also have our Player Podcast Central, which I think is we're up to almost 100 interviews there all together, and you can check them out, the interviews from the Senior Bowl as well as the East-West Shrine Game and other places. But before we go to Joe, we're going to go quickly to Jake Locker, and that's somebody that Joe spoke to earlier this week in Mobile.
This is NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight, live on location, Mobile, Alabama, with Jake Locker, Washington Huskies. Jake, day one of practice is in the books. How you feel about today?
I thought it went pretty well. It was a good start to the week and something we can build off of.
Now, you're giving tickets to the gun show, showing your abilities to scouts. What do you feel is your best strength? What you want to show off to scouts this week?
I think that I can make all the throws that they ask me to within their offense and have the ability to improvise when things break down. And, you know, and then outside of that, work ethic and competitiveness and willingness to be coached.
Now, Jake, I've heard rumors of wicked sick 40 times. What's the most recent recorded 40 times?
It's not recent enough to be accurate, so we'll see come the combine.
So you're going to unveil it for us in Indianapolis?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's anything that you should be all excited about, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, what's something coaches have been working on with you in particular? Maybe something they're trying to help you and further along in your game?
I think just fundamentals within the offense and getting comfortable really playing in a pro-style offense.
Careers in the books, Jake. What are you going to miss most about Washington?
I think this the college atmosphere, the teammates, that locker room, things that you'll miss the most.
All right, social networks. The fans want to get at you another way, Jake. You on the Twitter, your Facebook,
I don't do social networks.
All right, just all checking right. Best luck to you as the week goes
on. Thanks, man.
All right, that was Jake Locker there, the quarterback from the Washington Huskies. And if everybody recalls, you know, at the start of the college football season, a lot of people had him projected as the number one overall pick in the draft, not just the top quarterback, but potentially the top player overall. Obviously, at this point in time, there's a lot of more variety of opinions on where Jake Locker will go. And I'll bring on my man Joe Everett, who's there at Mobile, to help us out with that. Joe, how's it going? How's the week been?
Oh, it's been great, Dan. It's awesome to be here, especially when it, I believe, is 6 degrees in Indianapolis. So I'm drinking it in, my friend.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the temperature here is in New York, but I can tell you there's about 10 feet of snow outside. So that'll let you know that I wish I was where you were. Joe, you know, we just heard from Jake, definitely one of the quarterbacks in this game that has a chance to be a potential first-round pick. And, you know, as I mentioned, this is somebody that we thought at the start of the year maybe he could have been number one overall. Some people thought maybe he could have been number one overall had he left as a junior. I'm not sold on that myself. But how do you think Jake did this week, and where do you think his stock is right now?
I think he helped himself. I mean, there's just the bottom line that there are only a few guys here that can make the throws he can make, and actually just two. And Locker, I think, is still just – far and away better than the rest. Just how well he throws on the move, and just how hot that ball is coming out the release. So he puts a great spin on it, and it's just, you know, on the move, throwing ropes like that. Scouts are going to see that, and wherever he is along the line, in their opinion, they're going to see a great piece of clay they could mold into a franchise quarterback. So I think he's going to fit somewhere in the first round just because, like I said, there's only a few players out there that can make those kind of throws.
And, Joe, you know, as people who've been following the website on NFLDraftBible.com, they can catch your daily reports, your stock reports on both the senior and South teams, their daily practices, the Day 4 Senior Bowl North Squad Report. We're going to get up there shortly. Sorry, Joe, we haven't gotten it up yet. But I know you mentioned a couple of quarterbacks in that report. And let's start with Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback out of Nevada. I know he's somebody that has a lot of physical tools. Good size, very, very athletic kid, an intriguing prospect, but some inconsistencies. What have you seen from him this week?
Just like you said, there's just those few moments far and few between, unfortunately, but he shows those flashes of the athletic ability. He's so quick, he's so long, and he does have an arm. It's just the accuracy is an issue. And not only is the accuracy an issue, it's just a matter of so many bad throws. And oftentimes in these practices, they're running planned bootlegs for him with no routes being run at all, which I don't know how beneficial that is to any of the scouts or to Kaepernick. We all know he can run. It's just a question of accuracy and how well he's delivering the ball and ball placement. It's just really, it's not been a good week for him, but fortunately, there had, like I said, there's been a few moments here or there, and he's still going to be appealing to a lot of GMs. The downside is he is very, very far away from a finished product. You want to talk about the piece of clay, this guy's piece of clay.
Yeah, and he's somebody I believe you mentioned that you wouldn't expect him to be NFL ready come this season. He's a little bit more of a project. Is that accurate?
Yeah, a big project at this point.
And another guy, you know, one thing, Joe, I think, you know, that you look for, that this NFL teams look for when they're down there is progress. You know, it's not just about what you do in the game or what you do in game one, but I think they like to see players who improve. Now, one person who you wrote has been getting progressively worse is quarterback Ricky Stanzi out of Iowa, and that's definitely not what teams want to see. Tell us what you've seen from the Hawkeye quarterback.
Very poor accuracy. He does not make checkdowns. You see him stare down receivers and just, once again, ball placement's off. There have been more than a few times to where there's been miscommunication of routes. He's throwing passes into a circle of nowhere where none of his receivers are even close. So you oftentimes have to wonder how much of that is just the new situation, adjustments. But even today at practice, he was very, very scattershot. And it seems to me more than anything, Dan, that Iowa had a good team, but it was in spite of Ricky Stanzi, not because of him.
It seems like accuracy has been an issue with a lot of these quarterbacks and will continue to be throughout this process, which is, you know, might bode well for a kid that I like a lot. That I got a chance to meet in New York in December, and that's Christian Ponder. I think, you know, he is one of the more accurate quarterbacks among this group and maybe among this entire draft class, and he's somebody that you had as a riser in yesterday's stock report. How about my man Christian Ponder, who I know, you know, he's got the intangibles as well, which I think is a big plus.
Absolutely. He is more of the cerebral passer, and I really like his release. He puts a great spin on the ball, and it's coming out hot when he gets it out there. It's you know, there's some velocity on this pass, and he looked great again today. He just has the ability to put the touch on it, take a little mustard off if he's checking down to a back, but he's also got the pro arm. And I think the biggest question he had, Dan, was coming in, the injury, is it his elbow, what's going on? And he told us here, I got an interview with him today, which we'll post on the site soon, that it was basically a forearm issue and not an elbow issue. It was just a pocket that tore a little bit, you know, on the connective tissue there in his forearm, and it's just every time he landed on it, it kept getting worse. So it's just something he had to correct with that extra surgery, and he says he feels great, and it really, like I said, he's looking great, and he's starting to get that chemistry together. It's just unfortunate the week's almost over, because he's really starting to click with not only guys like DJ Williams and Hankerson, but he's just really throwing some darts all around the field today.
Well, that's great to hear, Joe. I like to hear that. Ponder is a guy that I like a lot. I think he's kind of underrated by some people because he might not have, you know, the measurables and the cannon arm and the athletic ability that some of these other guys like a Mallett or a Newton. But to me, he looks like a kid that knows how to play quarterback. He's incredibly bright. I believe he graduated in 2.5 years and is working on his second master's degree. So the injury concerns are legit. I mean, they're fair to throw out there because he's definitely suffered through some injuries, both as a junior and a senior. I mean, when I spoke to him, he said that was his big goal as a senior, was just to stay on the field. And then, you know, he wasn't able to do that in the bowl game. So I'm sure that was pretty disappointing to him. He also, you know, set out the SEC championship game after they beat Florida. So, you know, it kind of didn't end the way he wanted to, but it's good to see him bounce back there. And you mentioned he looked good today in terms of what he did for the South team in the day four practice. Joe, fill us in. You know, what else did you see today in day four practice from the South?
Well, some consistent performers all through the week. I mean, like I've been writing about Hankerson, he has really taken this week as and put himself on that platform. He more than I saw than anybody. And what's amazing to him, he measured in a little bit shorter. He was not the 6'3 that he's listed on the college website and not the 6'2 that most people were guessing. He was actually 6'1.5", but regardless of the speed, the height, he knows how to run routes so well that none of the corners have been able to keep up with him, and he's gaining separation against every single one. So I think he's a guy that really took this week and ran away with it. But as far as today, I'd have to look at my guy Courtney Smith. He looked good week one of practice, or the first practice, but the last 2 days has struggled with some drops, and people are starting to get on him. Today he caught almost everything with the exception of an overthrown pass by Andy Dalton. But, you know, be that as it may, Courtney's a guy that's really raising a few eyelids. The South Alabama late invite is a guy to watch because he's a big-time riser, and he really turned in a great practice today.
And he may be from a small school, but he is a big kid, right? I believe about 6'5 or so, 230. I mean, what is he, like a Calvin Johnson type receiver?
Yeah, he brings about those Brandon Marshall, Calvin Johnson comparisons. He's 6'4 and some change, about 220 solid, and he told me that he actually lost weight to play in this week. He played last season at 235, so he cut about 15 pounds and said it's really helped him not only run in his routes but allowing a little more endurance without that added weight. So I think it's, once again, it's these guys that realize what kind of stage Mobile is for them and how they can improve their draft stock by taking it seriously and working hard.
And I know a couple other guys that stood out to you today that I wanted to ask you about is one is Oklahoma running back DeMarco Murray, and you wrote about his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, which I think he's the best back when it comes to that in this draft. I mean, especially, I don't know if you got a chance to see this, I'm curious, how much did they use him at all as wide receiver? Because when OU did that and lined him out there, I mean, he ran routes as crisp as any wide receiver I've seen in college this year.
Absolutely. They've got a lot of guys at the wideout position and tight ends that they're also working out there. So Murray has not been able to play a lot of wideout, but everything they're throwing to him, he's flashing that trademark skill he has. Even if the ball is thrown over his head, he has that ability to leap up, high point it, and it's just the coordination and the receiver skill set. Like you said, Dan, he's a great route runner. He doesn't have issues tracking the ball over his shoulder, and just that awareness is going to benefit him so much in today's league, especially when you look at what it's become. It's ruled by quarterback play. And, you know, two-minute offenses, a guy like Murray is going to be invaluable, and that's why I think he's got to be looked at as one of the biggest backs as far as a game-changer coming in, because he brings so much to the table, and he's so ready right now. I think you could put him on the field, like you said, line him up as a fifth wide receiver, he would be an asset on the field.
And we're talking to Joe Everett of the NFL Draft Bible. He is our correspondent there on location in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. He's been at all the practices. He was at the meat market, as we like to say, the weigh-in for the Senior Bowl. He's been grabbing kids left and right, doing a great job getting interviews, talking to a lot of these guys, getting some insight for how their week has gone. Joe, let me ask you about a couple of guys that I know a lot of people are interested about, and that's the duo wide receivers from Boise State. It looks like they're growing on you as the week's going on, and that's Austin Pettis and Titus Young.
Oh, yeah. These are both of these guys came ready for this week. Pettis is he's a guy that doesn't flash any one particular skill, but he does all things well, kind of the jack-of-all-trades, master of none. But he's got great body size. He's been very reliable, caught a touchdown pass in the last practice we saw, and he's a guy that I think could be a great number two, a complimentary type receiver. I still think he needs to put a little weight on, but at the same time, the reliability of a Pettis is what you like, and Titus Young is just, he's a firecracker, very explosive, and his personality is the same way. A few times he's been asked for interviews and pictures, and he even wants to redo the pictures. He wants the pictures to be perfect. He does different poses. He's been hamming it up a little bit, and I think that's, you know, also shows his personality and willingness to talk to people. It really, you know, reflects well on him. He's been great with the fans and the kids on the sidelines as well, but his game has also been equally impressive. He's so fast, in and out of his breaks. He's got a ton of speed, and that made a nice catch today. He was actually one of the few receivers that was able to get open against Kendrick Burney from North Carolina, who was just fabulous North practice today. I mean, he would have had three interceptions were it not for a late drop. But speaking of Titus Young, he was about the only guy today that was able to break away from Burney in coverage. And it's because, like I said, in and out of his breaks, Titus Young is very explosive.
Hey, Joe, I think the position that kind of intrigues me the most is the big uglies there on the offensive line. I mean, if you look at a lot of the other positions, most of the offensive skill positions, you talk about quarterback, running back, wide receiver, the top guys are underclassmen. We've seen a couple of defensive players drop out of this, you know, like a Claiborne or a Cameron Hayward because of injury. But it seems like the top offensive tackles are all here in Mobile, and I'm talking about, you know, Nate Solder from Colorado, Anthony Costanzo from Boston College, Gabe Karimi from Wisconsin, Derek Sherrod from Mississippi State. You can even throw in a James Carpenter in there, a Clint Bowling. Joe, tell me which guy out of that group kind of stood out to you. Do we have a leader in the clubhouse in terms of who might be the best tackle in this draft?
For me, it's Derek Sherrod. He is just cut so well. He's got a nicely developed lower body. He doesn't have a sloppy build. He fires off the line of scrimmage, and he's so consistent. I like his production, too, in college. You look at the Miss State running game, and they've been so consistent pounding that rock. I think it's got to be accredited to that cornerstone on the left side. He's been very good. Few players are able to get the edge on him. He's just got great mobility and a nice smooth back pedal for a 300-plus pound guy. I just see him as being the most coordinated of that group, and probably, I don't want to wuss out here, but he's a very safe pick. I think you know what you're getting with Sherrod. It's a guy who's going to be starting in the league 10 years plus because he's very reliable. With Solder, I hate to say it, but that extra length, the height, it's just a little debilitating because of the lower-to-the-ground pass rushers. A guy like Brooks Reed was able to get the edge on him. You know, if Brooks Reed is able to get him, then what's going to happen when he runs up against the James Harrison type, you know, those smaller 3-4 outside linebackers that he's going to overextend, and those long arms and long frame might actually be hurting him. I liked what I saw from Costanzo. He's very mobile and a very bright guy. I think it would probably be a tie as far as who's going to get drafted first, in my opinion, between Costanzo and Sherrod. But, yeah, Solder I was not as impressed with. Karimi has flashed well. They've been playing him at guard as well as left tackle, and he was a very good interview. He's got a mean streak in him, and you can tell it when he talks. So I definitely like his ability in the run game, but I just think the best total combination, it's got to be my boy, Miss State Bulldogs, Derek Schrock.
Let me ask you this, Joe, quickly. Do you think all four stay in the first round, and do all four play left tackle at the next level? Or does any of them you think might have to move inside or move to the right side?
It's very possible that Karimi might start at right. As far as Costanza, I think he's a left, legit. Solder, he may be a little bit more of a prospect, but as far as the first round question, I think Solder, Costanza, and Sherrod fit definitely. If I hate to put this on Creamy, but I do think he's a bit fringe first round. He's a fabulous lineman. He's definitely going to be on the radar, but he, of those four mentioned, has the most likely chance of being knocked out of the first.
And as I mentioned before, you know, a couple of the key defensive linemen out of the Big Ten, Adrian Claiborne, Cameron Hayward, not able, you know, not there. One not able to be there, Hayward, because of the injury. And it's kind of par for the course for the season, Joe, where those two guys were the two guys that were really hyped up all year. Neither one had a great senior year and allowed a guy that that I think you kind of like out of your state of Indiana there, Purdue's Ryan Kerrigan. He definitely shined this season as the Big Ten's top defensive player, and I think he's been shining this week. What have you seen from Mr. Kerrigan this week?
Oh, just that burst off the edge. He's very difficult to handle. The only downside is that with practices, they don't allow a full-on blitz, meaning that if you get there, they don't want you disrupting the play. You have to let it continue. So two players, Kerrigan and Cameron Jordan from California, both those guys, they've been so explosive off the edge, and they've disrupted things. Commonplace it's been then to see them in the backfield standing there because they can't continue the play. They can't kill the quarterback. They're not supposed to in practice. But, yeah, Kerrigan has beaten all these tackles here. It's been really a lot of fun to see him play. He's not been as good in the run, but that kind of pressure off the edge is why he's going to be, I think, a lock for the first round. And also, you know, not to get too critical of it, but the meat market we talked about, Kerrigan showed up just chiseled from a rock of marble. I mean, this guy he's been working out, and he looks like it, and also on the field. It's not just been the lifting weights and everything. He knows what to do. Very experienced player, and, yeah, I just think Kerrigan is a lock for the first round, especially because he can do so many things.
And speaking of that, Joe, I mean, he can do so many things. Do you think one of those things is could he be a 3-4 outside linebacker, or do you think he's purely a hand-in-the-ground kind of guy?
Oh, he can play it all. I think he will excel the most as a defensive end, a base 4-3 with his hand in the dirt. That's what he's done in college, and that's probably his forte. But we've seen him in some drills, dropping back. He's got the athleticism necessary, and you know he understands the game well. It may not be as natural a fit as a base 4-3, but I think he's got that potential. And just that type of burst off the edge and the first step that he has, I think coaches, they're going to see a guy they could mold into that type of player.
And, Joe, we talked about DeMarco Murray, running back from Oklahoma. He's not the only Big 12 running back there, and I think you kind of like the other two guys as well, and that's Kendall Hunter out of Oklahoma State and Roy Helu out of Nebraska. Where do you see those guys going in the draft?
Well, it's difficult with running backs because as a commodity, they're not – as in high demand as they used to be. I mean, you'll see it, I think, even with the underclassmen like Ingram. You know, teams, they're a little bit more dime a dozen these days, especially when you're looking at a potential 18-game season. How many running backs could the Saints have used this year? They had to go through five or six and ended up starting Julius Jones. So I think it's more of a game of attrition now, and most often not, these teams will be looking at quantity instead of quality there. But on the note of Kendall Hunter, I wouldn't be surprised to see him taken in the third round, maybe late second. I don't know that Helu is as highly touted a prospect in my mind. I mean, they're both great, I just see third, fourth round grades from these guys, unless a team falls in love with them. But one note today on Hunter, they were doing just the back and forth drills. They ran running backs through the cones and through quickness drills and lateral movement. And the guy, Kendall, has such quick feet. It was blatantly obvious. Quicker feet than any back on the entire roster. He just zoomed through these drills at almost a double tempo. It was very impressive just to see him work. He catches the ball well, but as far as the backs I really like here outside of Murray, I think Kendall Hunter is definitely going to be a great find for a team, kind of in that Maurice Jones-Drew mold, but I want to say quicker. If I know that may be blasphemous to some MJD fans, but Kendall Hunter is, I called him a POD in our interview, and package of dynamite is what that stands for, and he got a pretty good smile out of that, but I think he knows it's true. He is just such an explosion waiting to happen on the football field.
Yeah, he definitely had a big-time year after suffering through a lot of injuries last season. He had a really good sophomore season. That's where he kind of emerged. It was great to see him bounce back. Joe, before we let you go, one more thing. You know, one of the funnest things I think of this for us and even the fans as well is, you know, most of the guys we talked about, the Kerrigans, the Jake Lockers, these are guys everybody knew heading in even into the season. But there's always guys that come to this game and emerge that, you know, most people haven't even heard of up until like today, up until maybe we even throw their name out there right now. Give us a couple of these small school guys that impress you this week.
Well, like we talked about just before, Courtney Smith has been phenomenal, the South Alabama kid. Got a late invite, and he really has made that difference here to put himself on the radar. Not necessarily a small school, but a late invite guy that has a little buzz going here would be Dane Sandebacher from Ohio State, the wide receiver. He's been very good. Obviously, you know, he's billed as a Welker type. He's not nearly as explosive. He may be relegated to special teams, but he has dropped very few balls, and for a late invite has really made some noise. Outside of that, I've been impressed with Jeremy Curley. I mean, TCU is a bit on the map, but he's a guy that had some doubts. Of course, people don't like his size, but as far as off the line of scrimmage, Curley just blows up, and I just think he's such a mismatch with people trying to cover him, linebacker, cornerback. I mean, you really have to bring some speed if you want to keep up with this cornered frog. So I think he's another guy that maybe was not on the draft radar or was just a blip and now is a little bit more of a satellite or planetoid. I think people are gravitating to him more when they're looking for a wide receiver and a playmaker. And like we talked about, in today's league, you have to have more than one guy to get it done in the passing game. You need multiple targets, and a team like the Patriots or the Colts, late round, once again, they just surround their franchise quarterback with playmakers, and I think that's something Curley really proved to be this whole week.
And he's also a big special teams contributor as well, which will increase his value as a rookie. How about this kid out of Slippery Rock, Brandon Fusco, interior lineman, not really a football factory producing NFL talent there, Slippery Rock.
No, not at all. But, you know, he's been working really hard. Really, he said he was working with Charles Bentley, and he's just proved that he belongs here. No matter how small the school, he's really, I think, once again, it's another guy that's taken advantage of what a great opportunity this is. And also, he's just got a phenomenal attitude. And I do have to mention to the listeners that he is one of the nicest people here because he gave me a mulligan on our interview. I botched up the first 2 minutes, didn't even get it on the recorder. And I said, would you mind if we start? Yeah, of course. He even said, that'll just give me better practice to nail the questions. I mean, that kind of attitude, that's what you want on your football team, especially on the O-line, the self-motivated guys that, you know, keep coming back for more. And, yeah, Fusco, I think he turned a lot of heads this week with his play, his attitude, and coachability. And, yeah, the guy is a powerhouse, a lot to contend with for those DTs. He's got a really good motor, a good trunk, and it's tough to move him off the point of attack.
All right, folks, that is Mr. Joe Everett from Mobile Joe. Thanks a lot for giving us a chunk of your time. I know it's been a crazy week, and but a great week for you and for NFL Draft Bible for you being there. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Oh, my pleasure, Dan. Thanks for having me. We'll be talking to you soon, brother.
Definitely. Be talking to you next week for sure. And as I said, you can go to NFLDraftBible.com, click on All-Star Game Central, and there, you know, you have it all in terms of the coverage from the Senior Bowl, as well as still some stuff from the East-West Shrine Game. Joe was there as well, but from the Senior Bowl, we have practice reports from each day, from each team, the North and the South, as well as numerous podcasts with some potential first-round picks like a Derek Sherrard, like a Jake Locker, who you heard earlier, a Gabe Kareemi and Alan Bailey, and I know there's more to come. We also have Bo Marchant with us today joining us on the show. But before we go to Bo, we're going to go quickly to a quick spot that Joe did with Derek Sherrard.
Joe Everett live on location, NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight with Derek Sherrard, Miss State. Derek, impressive practice. How do you feel about today's performance?
I feel pretty good. You know, we have a pretty good team on the south side. Everybody, we're pretty happy to, you know, put the pads back on and, you know, just go at it one more time.
Now, we got the official height and weight, but what's the athleticism like most recent 40 time?
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to leave that for y'all to see on for the combine.
Right on. What do you consider your biggest strength in this week? What you want to show scouts you do best?
Basically, just the competitive side. I mean, I'm going to fight every single play, you know, try to, you know, dominate my opponent every single play.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of people don't realize what kind of work goes into it. First off, where are you training, and how hard you've been working leading up to this week?
I've been training in Miami at Bomarito's Performance Institute, and, you know, I've been training pretty hard, you know, because this is a big showcase. This and combine together, you know, it could, you know, make them break you, so everybody has to work hard to get to where they want to go.
Any former players or position coaches you've been working with in particular?
Not really. Well, you know, I've seen, you know, a lot of players that I've played against, and a lot of, you know, a couple of players that I've played with, and you know, a lot of names that, you know, I've, you know, heard before in the college world, and, you know, just to see everybody come together for this game is pretty great.
Absolutely. And what are you working on most as this week goes on, trying to improve parts of your game you want to get better at?
Pretty much just my knowledge, you know, of the game, you know. Working with the Buffalo coaching staff, it's, you know, it's a real great honor, and I'm going to try to learn as much as possible during this week.
Mississippi State Bulldogs, Derek Sherrard, thank you very much. And
All right, that was Derek Sherrard, not only a great player, smart kid, great sense of humor. Me and Lloyd Ribner, who's going to be on later in the show, we got a chance to meet him in New York, along with some of these other guys like a Christian Ponder, Owen Marincek, Anthony Costanzo, Sam Acho. And, you know, Derek is one of the brighter kids. He was there for the William V. Campbell Award, the Heisman, academic Heisman, so to speak. And he also has a great sense of humor because we were asking all the guys who they thought should win the Heisman Trophy. And he said LaMichael James. And when Lloyd told him, hey, you know, you're the only guy here that didn't pick Cam Newton, he got a big smile and had a big belly laugh. So obviously, you know, everybody knows a little thing with Cam Newton in Mississippi State. So he even thought he was kind of funny by not picking Cam as his Heisman pick. He went with Michael James, anti-Auburn there. I just wanted to throw that out there for you guys. And now we're going to bring on Mr. Bo Marchant, who's also there in Mobile, Alabama. Basically, whatever guys Joe ever didn't get, Bo was able to grab and interview him this week. Bo, how's it going?
Dan, it's great. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm jealous of you guys. You know, one, you get to watch all these practices there in person. You get to talk to all these guys, and I hear from Joe the weather isn't too bad there. It's not snowing like it is here in the Northeast.
Yeah, it's been like 58, a couple cloudy days, but like I said, I mean, we're all, I mean, me and you are both from the Northeast, so I know Monday when they had their first the weigh-ins, and then we all went to practice, it was a snow day for my kids because it was minus 15 in Ohio, so definitely wasn't going to complain about 55 and sunny, so it was perfect. Felt like summertime down there.
Yeah, and we got another foot and a half here in New York, and Bo, I hate to admit, but I caved in. I actually paid people to shovel today. I've been shoveling all winter about six or seven times already this year, which is definitely past my quota. And when the guy knocked on the door today, I had to say, all right, buddy, do it. Whatever it is, it's just trouble. I can't go out anymore.
You know, dude, we all have those moments, man. There's just some days, you know, you're doing him a favor. I mean, the guy's out there, you know, shoveling drives, looking to get some extra cash. So, you know, you're doing, it's a double whammy of good. You get to relax and save the back, and then that guy gets to make an extra buck. So everybody's happy in the end.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to stimulate the economy out there. I think maybe that should be one of the combine drills. Have, you know, how fast and how much snow can you shovel? Let me see how, you know, impress me. All right, Joe.
I'll do that.
Bo, you know, I know you like to find these kind of, you know, lesser-known type of guys, not necessarily from smaller schools, but maybe not the biggest BCS programs. And a couple of guys that you want to talk about, let's start with Danny Watkins, the tackle from Baylor. Obviously, we know Mr. Smith came out of there a couple of years ago, was a very high draft pick on the offensive line from Baylor. How about Mr. Danny Watkins, who's there in Mobile this week?
Yeah, Danny Watkins, 6'3 and a half, 312 pounds, very thick kid, very sound kid. I thought he had a decent week. I mean, like you said, you know, you kind of, you know, you get interested in a guy, so that's who you know, put your eyes and binoculars on, and that's who you kind of want to watch. You know, I thought he handled himself pretty well. And, it's, you know, besides the play that he had this week, Dan, he has a very interesting background. He was born in Montreal, Canada, and growing up, as big as he was a hockey player and a rugby player. He never played football. And anyone that's played hockey knows that you have to have some pretty good feet and mobility to do that on the field or on the ice. And this guy's 6'3", close to 300 pounds, 312, and he's that mobile. But he goes to high school. He plays hockey, rugby. He wants to become a fireman. He becomes a fireman for 3 years. Ends up, his fire chief wants this kid to go down to a California Fire Science Institute. Dan, he flies down there. He goes to the institute. One thing leads to another, and they're like, "You got to start playing football." Goes to a junior college, and then next thing you know, he's getting recruited by California, Hawaii, I believe Utah, and obviously he ends up at Baylor. But, you know, the funny thing about him, when you're talking to him, he still has hockey at heart. You know, every time a guy comes on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show, I ask him, you know, who would you compare yourself to in the NFL? He goes, "I don't watch the NFL." He goes, "I watch the Canucks." So, very fun kid, but, you know. And besides the great story, you know, I thought he had a good senior week too. You know, not just you know, puff the story, but I thought he did himself a lot of good this weekend. I mean, you know, he's a thick bodied kid. You know, some guys could be 312, but they might be a little lanky or taller, but very compact. I think he has a nice lower body. You know, guys aren't going to get underneath him, and that's a couple things I saw him do. You know, he went up against a couple quicker defensive linemen, and you know, he held his own on those one-on-one drills. And that's a pretty good thing to do because, you know, those one-on-one drills down there, those defensive ends got a lot of room to kind of get around. They're not so isolated. So I thought he did pretty well. Definitely a guy that I thought improved his stock as we're leaving Mobile this week.
I thought you were going to say he might remind you of Sidney Crosby there, and definitely if we did the snow shoveling thing, this kid would probably dominate. He would almost be like a ringer because he probably grew up, you know, with this kind of weather constantly around him. Let's go to the Big East here, and a kid out of Louisville, defensive back Johnny Patrick. Bo, he's another guy that caught your eye and caught your attention this week. What can you tell us about him?
You know, he's one guy that I did thought stood out exceptionally well. I mean, going up against the receivers, you know, he made a couple nice pass deflections. You know, he got to the ball nice. And, you know, it's those plays, Dan, when you just make a little bit of a play like that, you know, you get in front of the receiver, you just tap a ball out of the way. You know, even the crowd, the guys that are on stand, you know, they get a nice, ooh, you just hear a little bit of a thing, and that gets you noticed. And a guy like Patrick, you know, he did that this weekend. And Louisville had some nice talent too. You know, Cameron Graham, the tight end. So he went up against some good guys in practice, and he definitely handled himself well this week.
All right, Bo, let me ask you: for this week, what you've seen so far? Can you give me to use kind of a fantasy term? I know my fantasy guys here, the fantasy football insiders, Rick Ross and Ralph, they like to do the stud, dud, and sleepers. Can you give us a stud, a dud, and a sleeper from this week?
You know what, I'm going to have to go, and I heard Joe, and I agree with him 100%, and I was really excited to see him. I like Kendall Hunter. I mean, I think this kid's a talented football player. I think the NFL has the, you know, smaller backs. I mean, he's right around 5'7", 200 pounds thick. He's not tiny. I mean, you know, you see a guy like Noel Devine go up there, you know, 5'7", 160 pounds. You got Kendall Hunter going up there, 5'7", close to 200. He looks like a, you know, a bulldog. But he's quick, and we both know, I mean, 2009 he gets hurt, and 2008 and 2010 the seasons he was healthy, he has two 1,500-yard seasons, 16 touchdowns in each one, and he's a big playmaker for Oklahoma State, you know, helping them to be successful. I thought he was great. I mean, he made a lot of big plays. He, you know, and you could see him hiding behind those big offensive tackles that the North side had. I mean, he was able to get behind those guys and the Anthony Costanzos and the Gabe Karimis. You know, he's hiding behind those guys and he's getting through the holes nice. Hunter, I thought, did himself well. He's a guy that I really enjoyed seeing out there. And I think out of anybody, offensively, he stood out to me the most. From the skill position, guys.
And I know, we all hate to do this to some extent, but how about a dud? You know, is there somebody out there that you were expecting to see a lot from, and they just didn't give it to you this week?
You know, one guy, and you hate even going down that route, but the one guy that kind of just, I thought, maybe I think he looked like he was playing nervous to me, and that was the Boise State receiver Titus Young. I know he dropped the pass. He got kind of frustrated because, you know, you don't want to, you know, I mean, it wasn't a blatantly dropped pass, but it was a pass he might have had. I know he got down on himself. And after the play, he kind of threw his hands up, and, you know, and the defensive back, picked the ball up and ran it with it. And, you know, and the coaches started to get on him, saying, hey, you got to chase that ball. You got to chase that ball. And then after that, it just seemed the way he was running, it wasn't fluid. And, you know, he was just playing around too much. It was too much, you know, with his feet and kind of, you know, too many things. You know, and I know it's not tackle, and they're just kind of out there practicing. But for me, he's a guy that I was just kind of like, you know, I wish I would have saw a little bit more. And like I said, when I saw the hands go up in the frustration, and I know the coach got on him a little bit, you know, I thought that was a big, you know, just that stuck out to me as well. And then, you know, once you start picking up on those things, I think they just stick in your mind, and then you just keep following that guy after play and seeing what he's doing. And so if you had the dud, and like I said, I hated to say a dud, but I'd have to say Young was a guy that I was disappointed with this week.
And finally, how about a sleeper, Bo? Who's somebody that could kind of emerge this week for you that, you know, really didn't have a lot of hype but really impressed you?
A guy that didn't have a lot of hype that impressed me this weekend. Wow. You want a skill guy?
Any guy. You can go anywhere with it.
Let's see. Well, you know, I didn't hear a lot about that Von Miller going in. No, I'm joking with you. where's he from? I think the guy that I wouldn't say so much if he was a sleeper, but I thought the guy that, you know, another guy that kind of turned head was the San Diego State receiver, Vincent Brown. I thought he did a nice job this week, and, you know, I think he did. And that Brandon Fusco, I think he's the new girl on the block. Nobody's really seen him before, and when a new girl comes on the block and they look good, you get excited, and I think that's what everyone kind of felt down there. There's this new kid from Slippery Rock. He's playing very well. He has a great personality, you know, and you add those two combinations of, you know, playing well, good personality, and nobody knows you. It, you know, kind of, I think, exceeds how good you really did. I'm not saying he did bad, but I think you get a nice buzz, and he had a very nice buzz so far this week as, you know, these guys were going head-to-head. And, you know, Dan, the best part about it is you see these guys on Monday, and, you know, it's expected. They've never played, you know, but, you know, by Wednesday, you know, you can just hear the pads hit, and guys are calling guys to get in position, and people are making plays on the ball. You can feel the intensity to pick up. And, you know, that's one of the best parts about Senior Bowl practices and, you know, seeing these kids, you know, grow within 3 days. You know, they already got it down pat, and they're really working hard with it.
Yeah, it's impressive, you know, grow as individual, grow as a team a little bit. That's something Joe hinted at. You know, kind of feel bad it's almost over with the fourth day. Bo, before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about a big-name guy who is not at the Senior Bowl, but actually may be drafted ahead of anybody who is at the Senior Bowl, and you got a special opportunity to speak to Patrick Peterson from LSU, a little exclusive. I think it was us and the NFL Network were the only people that got a chance to talk to him, and he was there to meet with some NFL teams. Give us a little insight to that, a little preview to people who haven't heard the interview yet, and they should jump on that ASAP.
Well, you know, I mean, Patrick Peterson, I think you might argue he could be the best defensive back coming out in the last 20, 25 years. I mean, the highest guy, I think, was Sean Springs in 97, who went at 3. But a guy like Peterson, you know, he's a force multiplier, Dan. This guy makes everyone around him better. He's a leader. You know, talking with Brian Martin from Test, you know, that's where he's performing at. You know, he says when they're doing drills, he puts him in the center because everyone looks to him. You know, he's the guy that's going to have it down right. He's going to have it done first. And he wants that guy, so everyone, you know, you want that guy in the middle because he's just a leader. And I know after the Cotton Bowl, I mean, Kelvin Shepard, he's down there at the Senior Bowl. He had nothing but praise, you know, just talking about how important, what a leader he was. I mean, he's a junior, and him and Shepard gave the final speech of the game for the LSU Tigers before they, you know, they started that game in the Cotton Bowl. But Peterson is big, and, you know, he's a hard worker. And, you know, and I think the thing is, you know, he wants that 40 time, Dan. I mean, this is no joke. He wants that 40 time. He really wants it bad. And like I said, you'll get some nice little tidbits about what those guys do with the 40 time each day. And if you read or listen to the show, and you know, his father was on the show as well. He talked a little bit about the first time, you know, what play stood out to him. And he said the play that stood out to him wasn't even anything in high school or college. He said it was when he was 7 years old. He said he made such a great play going into the end zone that he knew from that point, you know. And he said even the other coaches, he said it was a remarkable play. You know, the kid hit him and he bounced back and he lost his balance and he, you know, he ended up just kind of stumbling in backwards, but he knew to hold his balance and keep his feet driving, and he dove into the end zone and they ended up winning the game. You know, that's a long time ago, but, you know, I think you knew the talent was there, Dan. And like I said, this kid, he wants that 40 time, and it's going to be interesting. And interesting enough, I saw Shafi Fields down there, former Penn State wide receiver, and I thought he brought up a great point for him to maybe not get that 40 record at the combine, because, you know, he says, I mean, the DBs are the last to go on the week of the combine, and that track gets built, digged up a little bit. I mean, you know, they just, you know, they don't run them on any different surface of the field. It's just that same track. You know, and Shafi was telling me that, you know, the more those guys get on that track, you know, the slower it's going to get. So it's going to be that much harder for a guy like Patrick to get that record. But, you know, besides 40 times, nobody's going to worry about how fast he ran, you know, in 5 years. They're going to want to know if he can shut down the guy that you're putting on him. But, hey, he went up against Julio Jones, SEC. He's big, Dan, and I like him. And talked to Don Dimitroff, the Falcons guy. He said people that he knows in his circle would not be afraid to take a guy with the number one pick if they had a good defensive back, even though we haven't seen that.
Yeah, you typically don't see it go, a corner go number one overall, but Peterson is right up there. He's definitely in our top five on our big board, and you can go to the NFLDraftBible.com site, check out that extensive interview with Patrick Peterson there in Mobile. Bo, thanks a lot for giving us some time. Looking forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, Dan. Have a great day, my man.
You too. And that is Bo Marchant there in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, along with Joe Everett, just pumping out interviews left and right. Check out the podcast. We're definitely going to be over 20 by the time we get them all up tonight. There's a bunch there already, as I mentioned. Derek Sherrod, Jake Locker, Joe Everett told us Christian Ponder should be up there soon. Definitely a few guys that have a chance to go in the first round. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the Big Ten guys, including a guy like Ryan Kerrigan, who we have an interview with as well. Before we go to Lloyd Ribner, a quick spot with Gabe Creamy this week at the Senior Bowl.
This is NFL Draft Bible Players Spotlight on location, Mobile, Alabama, joined by Gabe Creamy, Wisconsin Badgers. Great watching you play out there. Day three is now in the books, sir. How do you feel?
I feel great. I was throwing people down, you know, left and right. Just felt like I really was finishing people today, just crushing.
Now, you seem to be comfortable on both sides of the football. I mean, are you fine starting with right or left?
I didn't do any right. I'm doing left tackle and left guard, but I played right plenty of times. I've done it, practiced it in my hometown. Just the lineup was, I was left guard this time. Never played left guard, doing well at that. You know, whatever position someone puts me, I'm going to do well.
Can I ask you where you're training and who you're training with? Any position specialists?
Yeah, I'm training with Charles Bentley, you know.
Right, right.
You know, Pro Bowler. All linemen for the Saints and Browns, so he got my technique right.
Definitely a good position, Coach. What do you see as your biggest strength heading into this week, and particularly the game, something you want to show scouts you do best?
I'm just a nasty player. I'm going to throw people down. I'm going to get on people. I'm going to fire off the ball. Just try to attack people as much as I can.
Where does that mentality come from?
What?
Where does that mentality come
from? Probably with Scott's mentality, I guess. I know that's what we think of our players. So, you know, just getting down in with it, just attacking people.
In a practice.
And that was Gabe Creamy with the Wisconsin mentality. He definitely sounds like he is bringing it both on the field and in the interview. And we're ready for Mr. Lloyd Ribner now from the Big Ten country himself, The Ohio State University. Lloyd, how's it going today?
Hey, Dan, how are you? Love that little piece from Creamy. I mean, you can't get more Big Ten than that type of attitude.
Yeah, man, I'm waiting for the opportunity to start off. When somebody's interviewing me, that I can start off with, I was throwing people down left and right. That's how I want to start my interview.
I don't know if that's ever going to come up in your life, but, you know, hopefully you can keep that in your back pocket and at some point pull that out.
Definitely. I mean, that's a classic way to start, and that's why I had to throw that up there. I figured you'd love it, and I know the listeners would too. First, Lloyd, before we jump on the Big Ten guys that are at the Senior Bowl, let's talk about the two key guys that are not there. And first off, Adrian Claiborne dropped out of the game. He's a guy, Lloyd, you know, I've been a big fan of his. He really was so explosive and impressive, such an impact player last year. And I know he sees a lot of double and triple teams, but still, you know, I think he took a step back this season. Do you think this was the right decision not to go to the Senior Bowl and a chance to kind of show what he could do?
No, I think this is an extremely questionable decision. You know, you have a guy in Claiborne who has an incredibly disappointing year statistically in his senior season with only 3.5 sacks this year in 2010, down from 11.5 the year before. Like you said, he does face a lot of double teams, but he really could have used this week to, in practice and at the game, to really elevate his draft stock. You know, I just really didn't understand the decision made by Claiborne not to show up this week.
Yeah, I think it was an opportunity to solidify himself as a potential top 10 guy. I don't think, you know, heading into the year, he looked like a surefire top 10 guy. Not so much. So I don't know why he didn't do that. And then your guy there from the Ohio State University, Cameron Haywood, elbow injury. Cameron, similar to Claiborne, you know, the expectations weren't as high, but he really didn't have a productive statistical season. Did finish with a bang because he really dominated that Sugar Bowl. He was the most impressive player on the field that day. But, you know, you would have liked to have seen him build on that with a strong, you know, Senior Bowl week, with a strong combine. Now it looks like he's not going to be able to do that. How much could this elbow injury potentially hurt him in the long run?
Yeah, I think this elbow injury could really destroy his draft stock. I mean, he had that monster game in the Sugar Bowl. I was sitting there talking to a couple of other guys, and we were talking about how it was reminiscent of Vernon Golston in the Ohio State-Michigan game the year he got drafted, just having that monster performance before you come out that really solidifies and pushes you up that draft board. You know, and then once you hear that name, Dr. James Andrews, who did his surgery this offseason, I mean, I know it's not baseball, but still, it's never a good thing when you're going down to Alabama to get it looked at by Dr. Andrews. I think the biggest thing that this is going to do for him is it's going to really hurt him in regards to putting on weight for teams who are looking at him as a 3-4 kind of defensive end to be able to put on that size. He's not going to be able to lift, put on any weight, and he's not going to be able to bench press at either the combine or his pro day.
Yeah, no, both good points. And, you know, he's somebody that was one of his strengths, that, you know, he maybe had that versatility to play in either scheme, and now he might not be able to show everything he can do. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. A couple more Ohio State guys there, Ross Holman, linebacker, and Dane Sonsenbacher from where I'm in. Joe, I don't know if you got a chance to hear it, but Joe said, you know, he was a late addition and has looked pretty good so far. I know he's somebody that you liked and wrote about as towards the end of the season in our College Football Insiders Bowl preview issue. How about those two Buckeyes? What do you think of their chances are moving forward?
I think Holman's a nice player. He's more. He's a little undersized, more of like that college type of linebacker. You know, he's a hard worker, blue collar. He was the captain of the team. You know, it's kind of like telling your buddy that the girl you're setting him up with is really nice. You know, he's a bit slow. He's a bit undersized for the next level, but he's going to work real hard. He's going to fight for that spot. You know, he could be a nice role player on the next level. Dane Sonsenbacher is, you know, like you said, he was a late roster addition to the Senior Bowl. He's much quicker than he is fast. He won't put up like an astonishing 40 time or anything like that, but he plays a lot quicker than his numbers. He's been productive from the minute he stepped on the field in Columbus. He's got real quick feet that help him gain separation, runs really crisp routes. And I think a few years ago he might have gone undrafted, but with the success of guys like Wes Welker, I think some team's going to find a spot for him late in the fifth to seventh round type of range, that try and find that spark that Welker's been able to give to the Patriots.
Now, we talked about Claiborne at the top as somebody who maybe didn't necessarily help himself this year. One Iowa lineman that did, I think, really help his draft stock is Christian Ballard, and I think he also fits into that Hayward mold where teams view him as a potential 3-4 guy or 4-3 guy. He played a lot of both at D-tackle and defensive end at Iowa, and I think he's somebody that definitely helped himself this season. What do you think about his chances moving forward, and is he kind of closing the gap on Claiborne in terms of who's the best D-line prospect coming out of Iowa?
Yeah, I don't know if he's quite pushing Claiborne to be the best prospect out of Iowa, but, you know, like you said, the versatility, the fact that he's played both on the end and in the middle. He's not really a natural pass rusher, but he's got a good first step and uses his leverage really well. The one negative that you hear pretty much from talking to anybody about him is that he's not real good at disengaging after that initial burst. But he's got a real good motor, and you know, he might never be the star of the line on the next level, but I think he'd be a great contributor to a unit for a long time.
And let's talk a little bit about a linebacker there, Greg Jones. He was the Defensive Player of the Year as a junior there at Michigan State. But not necessarily, you know, turning eyes here at the Senior Bowl this week from what we're reading and from what Joe wrote earlier in the week. And you know, Lloyd, to me, he seems like somebody that almost kind of leveled off. You know, he was so good and so productive and so explosive as a freshman. I don't think we've really seen those major leaps in his ability from, you know, that point to his senior season.
Absolutely. His college career has been fantastic. He's put up exceptional numbers. This season, he was fifth in the nation with 9 sacks and third in the nation with 154 tackles. He's real instinctive, has a great motor, really just goes out there and gives it everything he has. Like you said, the ceiling on a player like Jones might not be as high as some other players, but he's the type of guy that you can draft right away and kind of stick him in, maybe not to a starting lineup, but he'll definitely have an impact. I could really see him going to play for an organization like a Pittsburgh or a New England and playing behind a guy who's a little bit more experienced, but programs like New England and Pittsburgh really love players who have come out and really shown throughout their college career not just potential, but actually put up some stats and production.
And I think a real intriguing guy is Lance Kendricks out of Wisconsin, tight end, more of an H-back guy, definitely at the college level. Wisconsin has had, you know, a couple of his predecessors drafted into the league the last few years, but he reminds me more of another Big Ten guy. I think he's reminiscent of Dustin Keller out of Purdue. What do you think of Lance Kendricks' upside moving forward into the NFL?
Yeah, I was going to say that he's not like a Travis Beckham type of tight end who's like basically just a bigger wide receiver. He can block. He's not the strongest blocker, but he does put in the effort there. I think he's the top 5 tight end in this draft. I think his biggest problem is he's got really, really good hands, but a lot of times lets balls come right into his chest. He's got to use his hands a little bit more. He's real strong after the catch, can break a lot of tackles. I think he's a name that you're going to see probably day two.
Yeah, and he's somebody, like you said, he may not be the biggest kid, so he's not going to blast you off the line of scrimmage in terms of his blocking skills, but he's a very willing blocker, an eager blocker, and I think he's stronger than he looks. You know what I mean? He doesn't look that big, and like I said, he's kind of that H-back type of guy, but I think he plays bigger than his size, and he definitely looks like he relishes blocking.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not the best blocking tight end out there, but you'll never see him shy away from one either.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Dustin Keller. I think he's further along as a blocker than Keller was when he was coming out of Purdue.
I would definitely agree with that. Keller's really has come a long way with his blocking game coming out of Purdue, but at the same time, I don't think that he was on the level that Kendricks is at as far as that goes.
All right, Lloyd, thanks a lot for giving us some time and breaking down some of these Big Ten guys for the Senior Bowl.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, you're listening to the NFL's Draft Digest here on All Access Football Radio, brought to you by NFLDraftBible.com. You can hear us on the Fantasy Sports Channel, Block Talk Radio account as well. Don't forget, go to NFLDraftBible.com. Check out all the latest from the Senior Bowl. We're going to be on top of the Texas versus Nation game next week as well. But, you know, go right now, check out all those Senior Bowl practice recaps as well as our player interviews as we follow the NFL draft from now until April. Talk to you next week.